Please join me in prayer. O Holy Father, may the words of my mouth this morning and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today we observe Christ the King Sunday. What better time to observe it than the last Sunday of the church year, when we are talking about our Lord coming again, about that great day of the Lord. And we are reminded this morning that Judgment Day is approaching. We will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Sometimes we read the Holy Scriptures and we say, oh, it's a shame I've missed all these miracles. Well, people, we're all going to see the final act of history. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus Christ is coming to gather His elect. The one who took part in the creation of the world, the one who redeemed and restored the world by His death and resurrection, is coming back to judge the living and the dead. In our gospel text today, Jesus addressed this. The created world is temporary. Its days, like our own, are numbered. Everywhere we look supports this. It's not just the gray hairs, the weak knees, the broken bones, and failing health. Look at some of the things going on today. Identity theft. Grid vulnerability. Death that is spiraling out of control. And other things happening in our country and worldwide indicate that something is very, very wrong. Plus, we have a real problem in our society insofar as how people are treating other people. I've never seen anything like it. Jesus and His disciples were in Jerusalem for what would be our Lord's last Passover. And in the verses before our text, which we read last Sunday, as they left the temple, the disciples looked around and admired the greatness and beauty of the temple. It was quite an achievement. And the Jews took great pride in it. But Jesus decided it was time to teach them something. And He said something that was quite disturbing to them. He said that the day was coming when not one of the buildings would be intact and not one of the great stones would be left on top of another. What a prediction, huh? And the disciples, of course, had to be a little upset to hear this. They asked when that would happen. And Jesus then explained about the destruction of Jerusalem. But He went on much further. He talked about the times that would lead to the last day. And in our church and in other mainline denominations, we believe that the first part of this prophecy has already been fulfilled. That it was fulfilled with the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the great temple in 70 AD by the Romans. But the rest still remains to be fulfilled. Now, there is so much more that we could say about what's going on today. And I don't think we're best served by spending a lot of time on that. What we need to be spending time on is our Holy Scriptures. We have a sure guide that God has left us in the Bible, which contains prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that has been fulfilled. We need to pay attention to those. And God, in the middle of whatever we're in, wants us to have a sure hope and focus on His promises, no matter what else happens. Jesus is coming again. And today, we're going to briefly examine what I call the three A's of Jesus coming again. How that allures people. How it should alert us. And how it assures us. And the end of the world has always had a certain allure to people. They are drawn to it. They are interested, religious or not. People tend to respond in a manner similar to the disciples. They want to know more about it. They want to know when it will take place. They are fascinated by this claim and about claim of the end times. It's an attention grabber. They are aware, most of them, that there will be dramatic action at the end of the world. And they've heard something about a cataclysmic battle between good and evil. Why, just think of it. If we knew more, we could make a great movie out of it. Or a multi-million-dollar book series. As a matter of fact, we already have something like that. It's called the Left Behind series. I've read it. I wonder how many of you have. Okay? One Christian group was behind the writing of these books. And they have a little different idea about the rapture than the rest of the Christian church has. The books in 9, 10, 11 different copies talk about the Lord taking up part of the people of the earth and the rest of them are left there. And all sorts of things go on. And Jesus comes to reign on earth and there's a terrific battle between Him and the forces of Satan. We don't quite have that same viewpoint. Our church is thankful that these people do profess the name of Jesus. They do believe in the Lord as their Savior. But we have a different idea of the end of the world than they do. To many believers, including our own church, Judgment Day and the end of the world will see the fulfillment of the promises of God there about Jesus. And a lot of things are going to happen in a very short time. The end of the world will take place when Jesus comes again. Period. In a flash, all people will be gathered before Jesus, including those who have died. Their bodies will be raised to rejoin their souls. And we caution people not to listen to those who boldly try to predict when this will take place. For Jesus said, quote, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven." That's what our Lord said about the end of the world. While we don't know when the last day will come, Jesus does give us some insight. We are told we should always be on the alert for His return. He continues to instruct us in Matthew 13 when He says, quote, "Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake." In this illustration used by our Lord, Jesus is the man who went on a journey. And the church is the house that He has left. And we believers are the servants who have work to do while He is gone. But we should also keep this in mind. We may be summoned to our heavenly home before the last day comes. Even many of the first Christians thought the Lord was going to return in a very short period of time. We could go anytime and meet the Lord. So there is another reason why we should be alert and be ready to go. It is well to remember the parable spoken by Jesus about the rich fool. It's found in Luke 12. The rich fool is doing very, very well financially. And he was looking forward to enjoying many days of leisure and enjoying all the riches that he had. And what did God say to him? "Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" It's just a parable, but the point is clearly made. This was spoken about a person who was very successful and laid up all sorts of treasures for himself. But he was not rich toward God. And the question we really need to ask ourselves is, are we paying attention to what's going on? Our society, without question, is drifting away from God. Be careful that you're not caught up in the sinful current. Make sure that you are standing up for the faith that was delivered to the saints. Jude tells us this morning in another one of our readings the following. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." We are not to walk on this troubled road of life alone. We are to walk with Jesus, who said the one who endures to the end will be saved. And if you're walking with Jesus, He will help you get there. For those who trust in Jesus rather than in their own thoughts or some man-made religion, the second coming of Christ is wonderfully assuring. We can await His coming with joy, not dread. Life may not be easy at times, but our Lord does not want us to be afraid. Through Jesus Christ, we have become part of God's family. He assures us that our sins have been forgiven because of the sacrifice made by Jesus on the cross. We have a new home awaiting us in heaven. Sin, pain, and death will touch our lives no more. Let us stand with the Apostle Jude, who writes, Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. So respond by living your life as a child of God. As you have been forgiven, so forgive. As you have been loved by God, so love others, even the unlovable. That's the most important of all. As He serves and cares for you, serve and care for your fellow human beings. As you have received the good news about Jesus Christ, share it with others that they might come to know Him also. Live as believers who belong to eternal life because you do. And the day of the Lord is coming. Amen.